We'll get to the scripture here just in a moment. While you're turning there, I just wanted to share just a couple words about who we are, where we're going, and what we're trying to do. My name is Clifford Keister. I was born in Oklahoma City, and I grew up in an independent Baptist home. I made a profession of faith as a young boy, but did not know the Lord. I was coerced into praying and spent most of the rest of my life as a young man thinking that I knew the Lord. But as a teenager, it became evident that I had no fruit of salvation in my life. My heart was always antagonistic towards my parents, towards the Word of God, towards going to church. And even though I complied with all the rules and things that I was told to do, there was always a spirit of rebellion deep down inside. And it became evident and plain in my teenage years that I didn't have true salvation. And I never had a thirst and a hunger for God. I never had a desire to walk with God. And so I ended up getting into the world and the things of the world and all of the stuff that goes along with it. And as a young man, I was out of school in my sophomore year and out of church completely and out of my house. And I was just, you know, living the life of the world. It wasn't until I was 18 and a half years of age, my mom had invited me to come to the addictions program that was there at our church there in Pasco, Washington. And I went to just, you know, satisfy her and to make her happy. And then afterwards, I went out and did my own thing. I went to that a couple weeks in a row. You know, my mom asked me, I remember being as high as could be in front of my mom and looking at her in the eyes and having her look me back in the eyes and knowing her knowing that I was not in a right frame of mind. And I felt bad for that as a young man. And so I went to the meeting, you know, to help to please her, you know, to try to make up for what I had done. But it was interesting, while I was at the meeting, I heard the same gospel message that I had heard my entire life. It wasn't anything new that I was hearing. It was the same gospel message. And after going to that for a couple weeks, God started doing something in my heart that I had never experienced ever before. And what that was conviction. My parents let me move back into the house a few weeks after going to the addiction program there at the church. And as my dad was coming home one day, I ran out into the we had a little trailer house just out behind our house. As I ran out there, because my relationship with my father had been deteriorated by this time. And so I ran out there, and as soon as I got out there, the Holy Spirit just brought me under a deep sense of conviction. Even it was so intense. For the first time in my life, I saw, like I knew I was a sinner, but for the first time, I saw myself in comparison to a holy and righteous God. And as I was out there in that little trailer, I just said to the Lord, I'm done doing my own thing and done going my way. And I broke down like a little baby and cried. I gained my composure after a little bit of time, and then went throughout my day. And, you know, as a young man, I had prayed and asked the Lord to save me under coercion of some of the authorities in my life. Again, as a teenager, one of my friends actually in our Christian school chapel, I was probably 7th or 8th grade, he actually bumped me on the shoulder and he said, hey, you need to go get saved. So I just raised my hand, went down, prayed, and went through the whole process. Everybody rejoiced. Even as a child, I would pray many, many times in my bed, repetitiously, oh Lord, I'm scared of hell. Please don't let me go to hell. But you see, all through those things, there wasn't ever conviction of the Holy Spirit. There was a fear of hell, but never a fear of God that I was seeking, you know, relief from hell, not for salvation from my sin. And so nonetheless, at 18 and a half years of age, there in that little trailer, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of my sins, and turned to the Lord for salvation, not even realizing what was going on because I thought it was all settled. I was just living the life of the world. You know, that. To that time, it was what I thought. But it was the interesting thing was the next morning. When I woke up that next morning, it was about 3 or so in the morning. And I don't know many 18-and-a-half-year-old guys that wake up about 3 in the morning. But when I woke up, I had a desire to read the Bible. Amen. That had never happened before in the 18-and-a-half years prior. We had family devotions almost every day. We had to have a personal devotion as a child before we went to school, and I despised it. But now all of a sudden I had a desire to read. And so I hadn't been reading my Bible for a while at this point, and so I grabbed it and turned to the book of Jeremiah. And I started reading the same words that I had read the prior years of my life. And those, all of a sudden, when I started reading that book, the words started jumping off the page at me like they had never done before. And what that was the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And I was experiencing reading the Word of God through the eyes of a believer and with the witness of the Spirit. And so I realized, it actually took me a few days to realize what had actually happened in that little trailer house. Because I had prayed, if you want to consider it, probably hundreds, if not thousands of times prior to that. And so I want to encourage you today, as we get ready to get into the message, we're going to be talking about the gospel today. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here today and you've never turned to the Lord Jesus by repentance and faith, I want you to consider where you're at today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new." All things become new. It doesn't matter what your background is, where you were raised, where you came from, whether you were religious, not religious, whether you don't know anything about the Bible, or whether you know everything about the Bible. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart, all things become new. Amen. And so we're here today. We're presenting our ministry to the country of Italy. If you don't know already, Italy is home to the Catholic Church, the Catholic religion, I'll say. It's a sad thing to consider that there's a country there with 61 million people that have had very little true gospel witness. They have religious terminology. They have religious vocabulary, but yet they don't have a true gospel witness. And I'm going to show you guys some things in our message today that'll be kind of interesting to consider when it comes to this thing of being around the things of God and around scriptural terminology, but yet being so far from the truth. And so today we're going to consider some things. So if you're in Mark chapter number 16, I'm going to go ahead and have you stand with me real quick for the reading of the word. We're going to read just one verse, Mark 16 and verse number 15. In this passage of Scripture, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us. Dear Lord, we thank you for the precious gift of your dear Son. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gospel message, dear Lord, and it's something that each and every one of us in this room have in common. Dear Lord, we wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for it. Dear Lord, we pray especially now, dear Heavenly Father, if there is one here that does not know you, if there is one here that has never receive salvation, dear Lord, we pray that you would just speak to their heart today. Dear Lord, help their heart and their mind and their eyes to be opened to the Word of God. And dear Lord, may they respond accordingly as they ought to. Dear Lord, help us, dear Heavenly Father, as believers to strive more to fulfill the Great Commission, to do what we can so that other souls can be saved, so lives can be changed. Bless now in this time. We thank you and praise you for your goodness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus gives a command. And he said to the disciples there, he said, for them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We would call this command that the Lord Jesus gave the Great Commission. Those disciples there, they were part of the church, and the Lord Jesus gave this commission to the church to fulfill. They were to go into all the world. They were to go and to preach the gospel. They were supposed to preach repentance and remission of sins. They were to go and to teach all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then to teach them to observe all things. This commission was given over 2,000 years ago. And the thing I want us to consider today is that commission that was given over 2,000 years ago is still just as valid, just as important, and just as needful today as it was back then. I think somebody said here just not too long ago, we were in a missions conference, and I think we're at 7+ billion people in the world today. I just think a few years ago it was around 6. You think about how the population and the people, it's just multiplying, and you consider what it would have been back when the commission was given. The need was great then, but think about how many people, how many souls are in the world today. Think about how much more important the Great Commission is now. Because people are going off into a devil's hell if they don't hear the gospel, if they don't turn from their sins. I want to consider a couple things this morning. Some things that we all need to apply personally to ourselves and as a church collectively. Some of these things you guys probably already know. Some of these things are probably elementary when it comes to the things of God and the Bible, but yet at the same time, even though you may already know them and they may seem elementary, yet at the same time, they are so vitally important. The first thing I want to consider is, what is the gospel? You may be sitting there and you may already think, you already know what that question is. You know the answer to that question, and praise the Lord for it. But there may be some that don't know the answer to that question. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4, we have a very clear explanation of what the gospel is. And if you will turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4, we're going to have a very straight answer here as to what that is. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So what is the gospel? It is the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way around it. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen here. A person can only receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. John 14:6 says, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. There is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I think about where we're going there into the country of Italy. I'm probably getting a little bit of ahead of myself here, but it is sad that there is, you consider the Catholic religion. They have taken biblical terminology and they have twisted it for their own personal gain. They have taken a person and have elevated a person above the scriptures. They've taken a person and have elevated him above the very word of God. They've taken an entity and they've said that salvation is in them and their church and in their religion and their way. But the scripture clearly shows us that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And him alone. Right. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, not through the church, not through anything else, but it's through Jesus Christ, Amen. Our Lord." A person can only receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want you to consider this thing, not of works, lest any man should boast. Most religion that you find out there says do. You must do this to obtain forgiveness. Your good works must outweigh your bad works if you want to obtain salvation. After the service today, I want you to go out and look at our banner out there. You'll see right in the center at the bottom, you'll see a number of folks crawling up some stairs in a sanctuary, in a cathedral, crying and weeping and mourning as a way to receive forgiveness and as a way to receive salvation. And it's sad to watch. I remember going there and watching these people crawling up these steps as a way to find acceptance, when God clearly shows in the scripture that it's nothing in and of ourselves. The gospel message is nothing that we do in and of ourselves. It's all by the grace of God. Amen. Romans 3:28 talks about that we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There is nothing that we in and of ourselves can do for God to accept us. He accepts us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in his finished work that took place upon the cross, in the death, the burial, and the resurrection there. So what is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the way that we receive forgiveness of sins, not of ourselves, but by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing we want to consider, and this is for us that are believers, is we must protect the gospel. Why must we protect the gospel? Why must we hold fast to our faith? Well, first of all, because our gospel can be hid. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, "Our gospel, if it be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." The gospel can be hid through religion. The gospel can be hid by other different means and other different ways. It can be hid. It can be distorted. It can be twisted and changed. Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 through 9. We don't have time to read it, but take a look at it. Write it down. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, "If myself, if an angel, if any other person comes and brings another gospel, let him be accursed." If somebody comes in and says, "You need to do these things, you need to say the rosary, or you need to light some candles, or you need to do penance. If you have to do something other than faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ," Paul said, "let him be accursed." The gospel can be changed. You get on the television to watch any of these things on TV, you know, they want you to send in your money. They want this. They want something from you. Something I think that's kind of interesting historically, you think about the Renaissance and the history there of the Renaissance coming out of Florence. The Medici family, who knows of the Medici family? You guys know this name? The Medici family was a very wealthy family there in Florence, and they helped to fund a lot of the artists and things that were part of the Renaissance. One thing that's very interesting to consider is the popes that came out of the Medici family were the ones that started the indulgences, the payments for salvation. It's just fascinating to consider, but also sad to think. There was a family that was their thirst and lust for money. They used even religious means to get more money from people, and people paying for salvation. Listen to me. Paul was very adamant about protecting the gospel. He told Timothy, he said, "Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, for in doing so thou both shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." Any kind of change to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by changing that message, you can cause somebody to believe a lie. And they will have placed their faith in something that is wrong. Ever since the creation of the world, the devil has tried to hide, to change or modify the word of God. You can see there in the garden in Genesis chapter number 3, the serpent speaking to Eve just slightly changed God's word and caused her to believe a lie. And that is what that is what the devil has done. He has used different kinds of versions of the Word of God. He's used different kinds of religions to give men hope. They'll place their faith and their trust in something they've believed a lie. As well, man has also changed and modified the gospel message for their own purposes. And you can see that heavily even in the Catholic religion. The Pope has been elevated and deified in a sense. The gospel message has been changed and manipulated. So we as believers, it is important for us to know what we believe, know why we believe it, and to share that message with others. And lastly, who needs the gospel? I already read Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Romans 10 and verse number 13. What a beautiful verse. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But he goes on and says, "How shall they call upon whom they have not heard?" And that's a good question to consider. We must go out and preach. Every person, I submit to you, needs the gospel. John 1, verses 1 through 3, we're not going to turn there for sake of time. But here's a great illustration. Religious people need the gospel. You can say, "I've been involved in religion all my life. I go to church, I do this and I do that," but yet at the same time, you still need the gospel message. The true gospel message. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night there in John chapter number 3. And he was a very religious man. He was a doctor of the law of the Jews. And Jesus said unto him, "Except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus continued to ask him more questions because he didn't understand. And then in John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus just laid it out and said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And this is a man that was, at that time, had been a doctor of the Old Testament. He had a religious vocabulary. He knew much scripture, but yet he didn't know the truth of the gospel, that Jesus came and to die and to be buried and to rise again the third day to save us from our sins. So religious people need the gospel. This is another interesting thing to consider. I want us all to turn there. Acts chapter number 6. This verse to me is just one of the most interesting verses to consider, especially where we're going, where God has called us to minister. I believe this is just a wonderful verse to consider, but also it's very sobering for each of us to consider. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 7. And this point is, priests need the gospel. Listen here. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And watch this. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What an awesome scripture. I think about all them priests that are over there in the country that we're getting ready to go to. They're religious. They're even teachers and doctors in what they believe. But yet they need the gospel. They need to hear the word. I think about the woman taken in adultery. She was a sinner. And she needed the gospel and she got it. I think about the woman at the well. She had a life that was ruined and wasted. But yet, God showed mercy upon her and changed her life, and there was a great revival. I think about Nicodemus, the tax collector. He had robbed and stolen from many people. He had done great wickedness. And he needed the gospel, and God changed his life. I think about Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. He was a very religious zealot. He was so serious about his religion that he threw Christians in jail and was even there at the stoning of Stephen. He needed the gospel. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a man with great stature within his community, and yet he needed the gospel. I think about the thief on the cross. He was there in his dying moments, and he needed the gospel. And God told him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." I think about the maniac in the Gadarenes, filled with demonic spirits, running around naked. But when Jesus came, he cast out those demonic spirits and he received the gospel and he was clothed and sitting in his right mind. Listen to me today. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done. It doesn't matter how religious you may be. It doesn't matter if you came from a home that was perfect or if it was broken up. You need the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth over 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died upon the cross and he was buried and he rose again so that we could have salvation. I grew up, if you will, in a very religious home, and would have died and gone straight to hell. But at 18 and a half years of age, I finally repented and believed the gospel for myself. And my life has never been the same. Today, if you're here and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to accept the gospel. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't go off into eternity without having received God's gift of eternal life. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then Brother Schaefer will come and